Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love. I'm here with Jan Golding of United Earth. We don't have Lana Love with us today, unfortunately, but I'm very pleased to have Jan with us to just speak to us about his background and experiences and to talk about current projects. He's well known in the spiritual community, and Welcome to Universal Soul Love, Jan. So great to have you for this interview.
Hey, thank you, David. It's really good to be here. Really, thank you for welcoming me into this space. And yeah, looking forward to sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been talking to you for quite a while, and we've had a few talks on Skype, and they were excellent, really meaningful discussions about a lot of different things. And we've been talking about the climate change talks in Paris not too long ago when I was in Queensland, and it's great to finally have you on the show and just talk about what's going on with you and the things that we're working on together, and people in our network, and the positive solutions we're trying to create for what I like to call the New Earth Movement. So can you, maybe you could just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your experiences and how you got to be where you are now with United Earth.
Okay. So let me start, I guess. Ever since I quit my studies, I was studying aerospace engineering in Holland at some stage. I grew up in, I lived in about five different countries before the age of 18. So yeah, I'm never quite sure how to answer when people ask where I come from. But when I quit my
studies.
Yeah, world citizen, hey, and yeah,
world
the traveling.
I know all about that, yeah, world citizen.
Yeah. Exactly, so. Yeah, from quitting my studies, I basically just enrolled in the School of Life and was traveling even more. And at the age of 24, I embarked on an overland trip from Europe to Australia, and encountered India on the way. Knew nothing about India, nothing at all. We were just going to pass through. And ended up spending 9 months there and coming in contact with meditation and yoga. And just, you know, living in caves and cooking on fire and that kind of thing. And just really enjoyed that. And that was really life-changing experience. And as we continued our journey on to Australia, in Tasmania, I experienced my first rainbow gathering.
Okay.
And after that, went to an amazing woofing farm, Willing Workers on Organic Farms. It was an organic herb farm. Really, really beautiful, very special experience. And I think the rainbow gathering was really one of the most kind of profound experiences when it came to what it can be like when people, you know, living, let's say, in the light, really like wanting to co-create and evolve consciously, living together and co-creating together, what it's like to be in community, you know, when people are of that intention. And that was really, really powerful for me, just to wake up every morning wondering what the magic of the day would bring, you know?
Were you doing this with an Aboriginal tribe? And what was this like?
No, this was, rainbow is, it's kind of, it started off in the 60s in the US. And
okay.
A lot of people would call it like hippie gatherings, but they're basically 1 month to 2 month gatherings where people come together. You know, they find a beautiful location in the wild, and it's really just living in community. There's no drugs, no alcohol, no money, no technology, and it's all about sharing and sharing knowledge, sharing resources, sharing ideas, sharing skills, and yeah, just really beautiful grassroots movement. But it's a global movement. I mean, they're having these things all over the place.
Yeah. Big long spiritual retreat, almost sort of a going into solitude and really getting to know yourself better and getting in touch with the true self a bit.
Maybe. No, this is really community. This is kind of the grassroots community experience. It's very close to nature. I mean, people living in teepees. There's a sacred fire that's burning all the time, and it's really just very ecologically conscious, I think, very simple, natural, almost kind of you know, Stone Age type living, but really just in a very, very beautiful natural way. So yeah, that experience. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd love to do that. I know part of the mission of Universal Soul Love is building self-sustainable living communities and eco-villages. I visited quite a few in Australia, but not to the extent that you have, not to that sort of very primitive, just very basic living. But I admire what, you know, I hear what you're saying, and it sounds very exciting and enlightening.
Yeah. I guess, you know, that with that experience in India of really starting to just live very, very simply in the wild and carrying that forth, it's very empowering in a way, you know, and just to become easily satisfied with very, very simple living conditions, very few luxuries and conveniences that we've all become accustomed to. Yeah. Just you know, living very close to nature. I mean, obviously it's not cut out for everyone, and it's not certainly, you know, I was young, I was 24, 25, you know, and really open for that. But I can really appreciate now how that experience has carried forth where I am now. I live super simply with very few, you know, luxuries and conveniences, but with a high level of satisfaction and a feeling of abundance in my life, you know, so,
I agree with minimal living, and I can actually feel what you're saying inside of me, because I kind of have that same sort of yearning or whatever, just to be. We were in Queensland last week, and we went to a nice, we took a nice nature walk deep into some area called, I can't even pronounce the name of it anyhow, but it had waterfalls and a pool, and unfortunately my Android broke and I couldn't bring pictures back, but we had a great time, just, you know, and it poured buckets and it was pouring and we were soaking wet coming back from this waterfall pool where the rocks were and everything going through the forest, but actually enjoyed it. Didn't mind that I was soaked to the bones, but it's nice to be in touch with nature, and I really like, you know, the more you can get rid of and empty yourself out, the freer you really are, I believe, so.
The less we possess.
I'm not practicing that in my life as much as I'd like to, but I am trying to make that transition. So I agree with you totally.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, this is all transition, hey? This is all transition. And so, yeah, I guess, you know, from Australia, I went to South Africa again the second time. And after that, traveled more to India, where I met my partner in Auroville, which is a big international intentional community in South India. And then went back to South Africa, where friends of mine had bought a nice piece of land, really in the bush, in the wild. You had to, you know, access it by four-wheel drive only, and no infrastructure whatsoever. No running water, no electricity, just a dilapidated old farmhouse. And we moved there, and over the course of about 9 years, we started an intentional community, an eco-village. Of course, in the beginning, our intention was really just to live out of the system and grow our own food and live close to nature. And we were very much into Vipassana meditation. So we were meditating 4 or 5 hours a day, and one day a week, you know, we'd fast and be in complete silence. And, you know, it was quite a monastic beginning. Yeah. And then kind of, you know, wanting to you know, I guess, develop the land a little bit in terms of planting and growing food and generating our own energy. The first 2 years we were cooking on fire there as well, you know, hand pumping rainwater and that kind of thing. And just to, you know, we kind of realized like, hey, we need to attract more people to help us develop this this vast piece of land that requires so much maintenance, and to really realize the potential, you start to realize, well, hey, we need to attract people, we need to create community. So that became my focus. Mm-hmm. And it took a while to manifest. For about 5 years, we were still very, I think we were up to about 4 people. and then at some point, after about 7 years, you know, slowly building things up, I wrote an article in a magazine, like a local South African ecological activist magazine, about the global eco-village movement, and in particular Kuladama, which was the name of our farm. Kuladama is the Kula is the local Xhosa language that means to grow, and Dhamma was, you know, the path of enlightenment, the path of awakening. So to grow in the path of awakening, to grow in consciousness, was the intention of that eco-village.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because my higher self tells me and has told me quite many years ago that eco-villages or intentional communities or self-sustainable living communities, whatever term you give it, that's the direction that we need to be headed in, and or at least for me and my understanding of it, because of situations in the world, global issues, climate change, these sort of things, or whatever the reason. Anyhow, I do believe that the things that you're doing and Sasha Stone with New Earth Project and Venus Project, all of these groups and organizations, I do believe that this is a good thing anyhow, and I hope that we continue in that direction. I think that self-sustainable living is a really good idea, and meditation has, I don't know about other people, but meditation has been the greatest thing in the world for me. And mm-hmm. I didn't start out with any kind of religion or philosophy or real routine or anything for doing it. I simply started closing my eyes and looking inside myself and just doing it every single day for quite a few years, and it was remarkable, the results. So mm-hmm. I do understand everything you're saying completely. Not to interrupt. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have.
But. Yeah, no, that's this is all part of it, you know. Just this is part of our individual and our collective awakening, is discovering you know, all of these possibilities are not only around how we live and how we can live differently, but obviously how we can evolve our consciousness and come out of our patterns of our ingrained social conditioning and all of that kind of, you know, kind of culturally imposed beliefs and opinions. But really, it's just this chattering mind that we're all dealing with, and how to work with that. And I mean, once you start to find that stillness inside and realize that it's always available, That becomes our reason for being, right?
Yeah.
Because that space, that stillness, is really what connects us with our intuitive essence. And you know, once we start to live along those lines, you know, it's the magic of life and creation starts to open up so much more. And and I guess that was really, I guess, my experience in living in Kuladama for so many years, was to really experience the joy of living free, you know, living out of the system. I mean, we still, you know, dealt a little bit with money issues. I mean, we would go off and do massages in the nearby village for about 2 months in the year, and we'd make enough money to be on the land for the rest of the year, you know, and just live our dream. And when you start to live that really, you know, on a day-to-day basis, to live free and to really fully live your passion and your interests, it just opens up so many possibilities for creation and conscious creation.
Yeah.
And especially service, you know, because that for me, I mean, my spiritual journey has guided me, you know, very much into that realm of, okay, you know, I've lived now in the bush. I can see how rewarding it is to live in nature and to live with friends in community. It's certainly not easy, but the challenge is there when you engage with them consciously, and you know, our personal relationships become our spiritual practice, you know, how we communicate, how we deal with conflict and disagreement, how we create projects together. I mean, you know, when you approach that with the intention of consciously growing and overcoming your own, you know, personal limitations.
Sure. I haven't had the opportunity to do what you've done and have the experiences that you've had sort of going off grid. I've sort of always been engaged in the system and always engaged in the conflicts and the dealing with lawyers and social workers and you name it, whatever it is I've done. I've had to sort of evolve within the system and in my work, unfortunately, but I've managed to have a level of success, I guess, with introspection and insight and examining my own thoughts and feelings despite all the adversity I've had to overcome, like we all do. We all have our issues that we have to deal with in life, but I'm happy enough with, you know, what I've accomplished so far. And
beautiful.
So, you know, I'm happy to be working with people like yourself and others, and I'm grateful for what I have, you know. And so so with that, should we start with where you're at now and how you've come to be?
Yeah, I think
United Arab. What's going
well,
on?
Well, exactly. I guess you know, just briefly, I suppose it's helpful to mention that, you know, in that time in South Africa, I was involved with many different projects of creating a sustainable, self-sufficient community. One of my other interests that I was involved with was organizing a local conscious cinema circle, because I really started to realize and appreciate how much, you know, the audiovisual media can play a very important role in self-education. And I was really starting to realize like how much of the information that we are receiving, through the media, through our social conditioning, through the education system, is really just so distorted and so, yeah, and especially along the lines of what the alternative possibilities are. You know, it's almost, I mean, we know that a lot of the information that's coming through is fear-based and with the intention to control and manipulate the human population. It's really the information, all the positive and amazingly inspiring information that is out there that is actually that we're being deprived from.
Very
that
true.
Is even more of a negative impact on our culture as I see it. You know, I mean, people are starving for inspiration and hope and intelligent alternatives to our current system. And once you start to delve into that, you realize, you come to realize that there's such a wealth, such an abundance of effective alternatives.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you've got all the ecological solutions, all social innovations, the alternative political and economic models. They're all here in a vast variety, you know. So it's not about naming one particular solution. No, we have many to choose from and to experiment with. So that, you know, when in my journey, I went to Europe in 2010 and did an EcoVillage design course. It's a 1 month course. And during that time, during the economic dimension, there was an economics professor from Vienna who was also an anti-globalization activist, which was quite an interesting combination. He shared a statistic, a poll that was done in Austria, whereby 85% of the population were unsatisfied with the political system. Now, that's quite significant. And for some reason, that kind of, you know, I guess I had always held the belief like, well, the only reason this system stays in place is because people seem to be satisfied with it, you know?
Or they're comfortable or complacent, whichever.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, I mean, I guess in hindsight, obviously, a lot of realizations fall into place about the fact that people actually don't think they have a choice. You know,
or
people
fear,
don't see
whatever.
That there are other possibilities. You know, it's all about the way the system is designed is, you know, to keep people busy and in debt and worrying about money and prestige so that they don't have time to question other possibilities. So you know, having also read books like Cultural Creatives and The Blessed Unrest, I was also quite aware of how vast and diverse this movement of social change actually is. You know, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of groups around the world, hundreds of millions of people.
I'm amazed to see that as well. I am very amazed to see how many people are actually actively involved in this New Earth movement or whatever name you want to give to it, this sheer that we all have. So I'm very impressed with people in our network.
And you know, I guess the question that came up for me at that time was like, wow, you know, we're so many people and we've got all these solutions and we're all essentially aspiring for the same thing, you know, a peaceful, just, sustainable world. We're all connected to the internet. You know, you start connecting these dots and you think, well, hang on, isn't there this vast, immense, latent potential here for us to actually effectively unite and collaborate on a global scale to actually, you know, and then you think about the potential and there are many layers to this potential because, you know, one of the main possibilities I see for unity, and we're talking about a real cross-cultural, cross-disciplinary unity from you know, the indigenous grandmother in Papua New Guinea to the anonymous hacker in Berlin. You know, I mean, we've all got a lot in common, and when we can recognize what we have in common, we can really become a very powerful voice for change when we're unified. Right?
I agree.
So that's really, you know, what I started to develop, you know, this vision of an intentional unification. Of course, it's certainly about embracing our diversity. But what is happening now is that all these different organizations, so many of them, we're still working in silos, right?
Yes.
We're still not really connecting. We're not collaborating effectively with, especially within our own field, competing for limited resources, struggling with regulations, struggling with funding. You know, there are very few of the most benevolent and amazing movements that I can see on this planet that are not struggling for funding right now. You know, this is a huge limitation to our evolution.
This is the issue I've seen as well in trying to unite groups over the past year and a half. We are splintered in the spiritual
community. We are splintered, exactly. So, you know, this is really where we are at now in our evolution. It's kind of, you know, Eckhart Tolle said, evolve or die. I'm almost saying like unify, or we are going to go into like a totalitarian breakdown.
I mean, my higher power said this, if I don't mind interrupting you, and this is a famous thing from Lord Byron, which was, mine is not to reason why, mine is but to do or die. And I think it was originally ours is not to reason why, and ours, or, you know, anyhow. And I think he meant that militarily, but anyhow, that has much greater applications, even in the spiritual community, that it's not ours to ask these questions why. The whys don't matter. It's simply you do it or you don't.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here to do. We're here to take positive action.
Exactly. And what better way to take positive action than to intentionally come together to create this new earth? So this is kind of the vision that I had back in 2010. And I've been working on it passionately, pouring a lot of my creativity and energy into it. I mean, I also have two amazing daughters who I had the pleasure of delivering into this world on our farm in South Africa.
Wow.
So I feel deeply committed to them and creating again another beautiful community here in Portugal where I know that they, you know, you want to create the best for your kids, right? And I know what is possible in terms of creating a community in nature with lots of inspiring people around and lots of amazing activities to engage in, learning real life skills, you know, about communicating, about, you know, about finding wild foods and medicinal herbs and building shelters and making fires and, you know, the useful stuff they don't teach you in school. And so... yeah, I'm getting a bit off track here, but this is kind of, you know, this is really, you know, there's so many layers to why I'm doing this, because there's also a selfish interest, you know, because I don't have the patience to try and create a conscious community here where I'm so limited by planning permissions, by financial resources. You know, I know people who have tried to create eco-villages and spent like 9 years in court trying to get planning permission. I mean, what's that about? You know?
Yes, I've seen that here with some eco-villages. And
exactly. You know, the way the whole legal structure is now evolving and becoming a lot more, you know, accommodating to the corporations, as is the whole political system. Conscious living is basically becoming illegalized. Mm-hmm. And so that's another important dot to connect, is like, how are we going to create this world that we know is possible within a system that is actually oppressing us, that is actually going in the opposite direction, that is going towards individualism and competition and centralization, when we know that the future is the opposite? So there comes a point, and this is the famous Buckminster Fuller quote, you know, you don't change things by fighting the existing reality. If you want to change things, you create the new models that make the old one obsolete.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. And this is my thought on this, is you don't fight the system because you're engaging with the illusion itself that they've created, and you're actually perpetuating it because you're giving energy to it. And the way exactly. you create your own reality, and you walk away from that stuff if you can, and you create the desired reality and manifest what you're really looking for, that positive outcome, because you can't, there's no sense in creating something that's already breaking down and you know, continuing that dysfunction. And we've been working with someone who's been in a past guest. We went up to a rural part of New South Wales with his, he's working on creating an eco village. And as soon as you start bringing the legal system into it, you're giving your power away to lawyers and politicians and people who are perpetuating the current paradigm. And I don't think that's the way to do it. I mean, certainly, you know, you can't go violating laws in an obvious, real sort of criminal way or anything like that. And that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about absolute freedom and sovereignty to live, to have innocent beliefs and, you know, just sort of use the golden rule and really just simplify your life and not come into conflict with other, I don't know, my own philosophy is one of almost non-belief and just emptying out your mind and just trying to accept new ideas and just coexist and work together. You know, if it's good for the whole, it's good for the individual. And so cooperation is really important and what we're trying to do. And if somebody has a great idea, you consider it, you listen to it, and you try to work with it as best you can. And these are all very difficult things, I think, for a lot of people, sometimes even for me. But I think this is probably what we're meant to do. And I have this sort of goddess, divine feminine connection myself that became part of my awakening. And I know that I heard her once say to me mentally that relationships are what's really important here, not beliefs or anything else, just being together and experiencing life together in a loving, life-affirming way is what's really important.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing, I think, you know, what you're talking about.
That's it. So this is kind of, it's all about coming together. So hang on, I got a dog here that's going a bit rabid.
That's okay. Mine's here too.
Hey, Villa. So this,
we can handle it.
We can handle it.
Sure.
So when you look at it, when you look at the situation from a planetary perspective, right? Mm-hmm. We've got all of these people doing amazing things around the world, huge potential for collaboration that still, you know, remains latent in many areas, in many fields. And we've got a system that is really, defunct, corrupt. You know, the whole system is really, this dog sitting on my lap now. It's important to recognize that, you know, that's kind of a conscious dismantling, a conscious transcendence of the current system that is actually a necessary part of our evolution.
I think you're right.
Like you say, we're actually to try and fix the system, to try and
plead with the politicians to kind of, you know, gain some wisdom and some real, you know, and start to implement the solutions that we already have. Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning, we actually, at United Earth, we applied to the UN Solutions Summit. Now, we, you know, it was really kind of done on the terms, like, we're not into pleading with the current power structures.
Sure.
There comes a point where you feel like just kind of, you know, more as a public statement to demonstrate the extent to which, you know, there's all this talk about solutions, and that's really what the COP21, I think, is also about. You know, how are we going to mitigate climate change and all of that? But the reality is, we already have the solutions.
We do.
And they know it.
Time to exit. There we go. Excuse me, I'm just going to close this back door as well. I'm just in a van now because my kids are in the house. And
I That's don't okay. This is them, so. This is real life. These are, you know.
This is real life, hey?
What we do.
So yeah. I mean, yeah, we... You know, the solutions, they're actually just not going to be implemented by the current power structures, because the solutions are all about transparency, about decentralization of power, prioritizing the welfare of the people of the, and the planet. And, you know, these, so that doesn't fit into the global agenda, the global corporate bankster political agenda, right?
But I do think, as light workers or whatever term you want to give people, activists or whatever, we do reach out to the world and we do offer these solutions and we publicize them and we do our public awareness campaigns. And I still do engage with the legal system quite a bit as a legal professional. Unfortunately, I know better, and I shouldn't be in conflict, and I shouldn't be doing petitions and civil suits and this and that. And it's very difficult to try to pull away from that, like you say, you know. And but they're there, and occasionally we do have to deal with them, and eventually we won't. That system, you know, the paradigm shift, I believe, or the shift, whatever you want to call it, is here for a reason, and it's meant to dismantle and have all of these systems collapse. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, this, what I think what we're talking about, you know, I can say at United Earth, but United Earth is really just a name for a global platform for us to collectively explore how we can actually come together, how we can create a platform that is really accessible and inspiring for all the people and groups who are working for and dreaming for this new Earth to come together in all our diversity. And, you know, like I said, it has many levels as well, because we're also talking about gathering all the solutions and what is the power of our unity? The power of our unity is to actually start to attract global attention to all the solutions that we already have, you know, and that I think is a big important factor, because while we are initially envisioning the intentional unification of people who are already working for a better world, the real power comes from the billions of people within society today who can see that the system isn't working, who can see, you know, who are concerned about the state of affairs and the corporate influence on the political system, how it's destroying our environment, how the media is influencing us. There's a rapidly growing awareness around that. And at the same time, there's still this kind of underlying hopelessness that how can we do it better? You know, what are the alternatives?
I think people are waiting for some leader, like a prophet or a messiah or something. And then there's so many people that come to me almost every week saying, I am the one and I am the way and you know, and whatever. And that's great that people are aspiring to the messiah level and everything, to bring people hope that way. Because I guess the question is, in society, we're usually used to a hierarchical structure, which is if you want to talk about dark forces or whatever, or the military or whatever it is, they have a hierarchical mm-hmm. structure, you know, where there's a CEO or a general or whatever, and there's a sort of a pyramid level of the whole thing. So we're not used to sort of this almost, I don't know if we're talking about a hive mind mentality where everybody's sort of just working together and cooperating and making things happen. So this is it's a very difficult thing, and I'm not even sure how this would work, because I've been sort of thinking about this for quite a while as to how do you make everyone happy, and how does everyone get attention to their missions and projects and solutions and get the resource to everyone to do what they need to do, and who is supposed to be in charge and who leads. And in the spiritual community, every person gets upset when someone starts to become the voice and leads for everyone else. So that's always been
exactly. And this is, you know, this is, it's not about leadership. It's about each of us taking responsibility and contributing to the greater whole according to our passion and our talent and our interests. And once we start to create a space where people can feed their own personal contribution that comes naturally into service of the greater whole, then we can really start to operate effectively. And that's really what's, you know, one of the things that United Earth is about, this platform. It's really about harnessing the power of our unity. And when we start to work together, we can accomplish magnificent things. And we really foresee this kind of this intentional unification that's already happening. We got many different organizations that are coming on board from various fields. We have, I was speaking yesterday with quite a renowned indigenous elder, leader, Chief Phil Lane Jr., who will also be coming to, we're organizing a conference in Rotterdam of, it's a fairly small conference. It's called the Conference of the Movements. We actually called it the COM 21.
Okay.
But this conference is intended to, yeah, to be a first step of bringing together people, change makers, visionaries, transition experts, who recognize the importance of unity, and also, you know, the importance of us to actually be able to transcend, to have the spiritual maturity, I suppose, in many ways, to transcend our ideological and methodological differences. And to see how we can all serve, you know, this greater movement, and to consolidate this greater movement, so that we can really start to create a snowball of intentional unification and conscious global collaboration. And so this is really now, you know, we talk about critical mass, and saw this really nice video recently, how science has quantified the critical mass at 10%. So, you know, and when we think about, you know, okay, we've got, you know, 300 million cultural creatives, 370 million indigenous people, and many, many more people who are open and interested in change, but aren't quite sure how, or, you know, what are the ways to do it, that we are actually talking about creating a critical mass within the critical mass. So to catalyze an intentional unification within the critical mass of light workers, of change agents, cultural creatives, whatever you want to call it. So this is really kind of, yeah, to create a snowball, to catalyze a snowball of, okay, what are the tools? What are the criteria for creating a global platform where everybody feels welcome, where everybody feels inspired to participate, although, you know, it's entirely optional, where we can all make decisions together, where there's an open democratic system. So we're working with tools like Liquid Democracy, which is a direct democracy tool online. We're working with Sociocracy.
Yes, I've heard of that one.
Exactly. You know, where the technologies, there's an amazing new technology that's being developed called NUMAP, which is basically a holonic resource mapping system where it's almost like it's going to take the internet completely to another level. Almost full circle back to its original intention.
I'd love to hear
of the geeks. Yeah, well, these are, you know, the internet was designed to really link people together to create a better world. You know, how can we network our information? How can we support each other on a global scale to deal with these social economic problems that we are facing? And so this is really coming full circle. And this new map is one of the technologies that is being developed that we're working closely with, that will all, that we will also be presenting at the conference. Okay. And it's basically a synergistic mapping system whereby it's almost like we're mapping our collective consciousness, where each individual can map their thoughts, their passions, their visions, their skills, their resources, their intentions. And this, this synergy engine can actually matchmake and help facilitate avenues for conscious collaboration, and you know, just connecting the dots, basically. So yeah, it's really exciting what is being developed. Wow. Yeah. So this is. Sorry.
I just wanted to ask you, when is this conference taking place in Rotterdam?
So this conference, it was originally planned in Paris, but yeah, because again the funding issue, one of our funders pulled out, one of our main sponsors pulled out at the last minute.
Okay.
So we had to relocate to Rotterdam. This was before the attacks happened. So you know, it's kind of, it feels like providence as well, because the energy in Paris, you can imagine now, is pretty heavy.
Right. Yeah,
a lot of fear and control. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful light shining there as well, holding that space. But nevertheless, you know, the influence of the media is really strong there.
Yeah. So I had no idea that you had that COM21 conference in Paris had been canceled and you had moved it.
It's relocated, not canceled. Okay. And so with this relocation, we also decided, you know, the original intention was the Conference of the Movements was to gather as many different movements and organizations as possible to really begin discussing effectively what are the possibilities for collaboration, what are the possibilities for unity. And we've seen now that you know, over the past months, that many organizations perhaps aren't yet ready to work at that level. They're still very much engaged in their own project, in their own vision, in their own particular methodology. And this is really important. You know, each organization that's working in this field, I feel, has an important contribution to the whole.
Sure.
And at the same time, you know, if we can all just kind of see that we're working for the same thing, and unify around that, around these common values and aspirations and visions, then we will have so much more effective power and resources available for us to manifest our, you know, to the fullest extent, our individual projects. So this is really, and so we're finding that, you know, many organizations, while they, you know, there's a lot of talk about unity and collaboration, but when it actually comes down to the practical manifestation of, come, let's actually get together and put all of our personal agendas aside and see how we can effectively catalyze a global unification around all of this beautiful, amazing stuff that's happening, this is really what it's about. So the COM21 is really about, okay, we're gathering all of these different people from diverse backgrounds and branches of social change who are committed to creating this movement of movements, as it were, and to catalyze this. So the conference is really going to be more like a lab, a kind of a conscious unification lab of how we can best catalyze, how we can create a platform that inspires people, that informs people.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but no problem. We're back. I'm with interviewing Jan Golding of United Earth, and we just back on track. We're talking about the COM21 event, which has been moved from Paris to Rotterdam, I believe, on December 9th.
Yeah. Yep. December 9th to the 11th. It's a starter. It's a short one, but we're already attracting some very innovative leaders. With these different technologies that I was speaking about, like NewMap and Sociocracy, as well as indigenous elders. So it's going to be a very eclectic combination. And that's really what, one of the main intentions behind it is to really harness our diversity and our collective intelligence and, you know, all of really pooling all of our resources and our solutions and our visions into one common cause, one common objective.
That's what it's all about, because we don't have a single person that knows everything. There's no Jesus Christ or Buddha here who has it all that knowledge. Exactly. We're all multi-talented, multi-skilled, intelligent people with all sorts of resources and connections to bring together to unite that power. And I remember my higher self telling me once that when you bring two people together, the power isn't doubled. It's actually exponential, and it increases by 1,000-fold. So this, like Jonah talks about and a lot, and Lana talks about and everyone else, this 10% and this, what is it called? The monkey,
the 100th monkey.
Monkey effect. You know, we all understand the power of the collective consciousness and coming together to sort of break through the matrix and everything and the great awakening. We all understand this, and this is what you're doing, and I think this is fantastic, and I've certainly been trying to do this for a while, so I just applaud you for your effort on this. And and I saw your video. I know it was sort of poetic, but it was incredibly inspirational, and you were a fantastic speaker, one of the best I've ever seen in that video.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, I would recommend that as well for the listeners, because I think that poem also gives quite a clear overview of what United Earth is about. At the time, it wasn't called United Earth. I was still working on my own, trying to find people to collaborate with. So it was called The Great Unification.
Loved it.
Yeah, but now over the past 6 months, it's really been phenomenal. After many years of looking for people who have this same vision, to no avail, really. I mean, everybody who I speak to about it resonates with it and understands and can see the possibility. But for those who are actually acting upon it, and holding that space and working for it, with commitment and dedication, there were very few. And now over the last 6 months, wow, we're all finding each other. You know, there's a ripeness. It's really phenomenal what's happening now. So this is all part of the evolution. And now the next step is really to reach out and recognize that each of us, each person listening to this interview, has a role to play in bringing humanity together for the common good. And you don't even have to think about it. Just, express your passion. See what inspires you.
Empower yourself.
And this is the website, which is www.united-earth.vision. Is really a space for meeting and co-creating. It's a completely open and inclusive, equality-based and solutions-oriented platform.
Excellent.
So there's a solutions page there that has information about solutions. It has a solutions awareness toolkit so that people can really start to self-educate, because this is where our empowerment comes from, through knowledge, right? And there's so much knowledge, especially when it comes to ecological solutions and transition town movements and, local currency systems and the alternatives, basically. The more we can know about that, when we speak about it, because this is really about sharing it, right? United Earth, our unity is going to spread through talking about it to other people. Let the world know this is happening. Let your networks know that this is happening.
Sure. I mean, I'm a private investigator. I'm a practical, problem-solving, solution-based person, and I love that. But I, of course, I know that I'm not the one with all the solutions. So I love the exchange of ideas and the sharing of these ideas, and really seeing what works. And, you know, I mean, yes, thoughts create reality, but that's only the sort of the framework or the blueprint for the reality. And it's the positive action that we take with those positive thoughts that really manifest the desired reality that we're trying to create apart from the existing paradigm, the old establishment. And that's what's going to work. And that's what we're here talking about right now. And in fact, you and I are doing this right now in this video. So just want to thank you so much for, you know, taking the time and the opportunity to come on the show and talk to me about what you're doing with your work. And then Universal Soul Love is a member of United Earth, and the name Universal Soul Love embodies exactly what you're doing. And that's the meaning of Universal Soul Love. It's the oneness consciousness. And I certainly agree with all your principles and ideals and philosophies, which in the end, I think there are none really. It's just about coming together and doing what we're doing anyhow. The beliefs and the ideologies and philosophies really mean nothing in the end. It's just about working together on this shared mission. So,
yeah, absolutely. It's been a real pleasure. And I also want to just clarify that, you know, I'm just one voice, you know, for United Earth is a completely co-creative platform, and everybody has their own particular slant on it. But yeah, we're really working on finding that common ground. So I feel really, you know, privileged and honored to serve in this way, you know, to be able to share it with you and just to echo this this possibility. Yeah,
we'll just keep echoing each other. I think that's what Sasha Stone once said about New Earth Project versus New Earth Nation. He said there's New Earth Project, for which he was a founder, but New Earth Nation is everyone, just as United Earth is everyone. And these are just different organizations and movements working towards ideals and goals and visions. So it all works. And in it will all work. I have faith in what we're doing, and you know.
Yeah, well, there is that. And at the same time, there's an urgency for us to connect up now. You know, it's there's a lot happening in the world today. We don't need to talk about it, but there's a real urgency for us to really get our act together. Literally, I often use the famous quote from Martin Luther King, you know, it's time that those who love peace must learn to organize as effectively as those who love war. And this United Earth is a platform upon which we can organize effectively and unite the light.
We do know what's going on in the world. Well, we're staying aware of that. We're just trying not to become engaged in it too much. And I think it's okay to sort of identify what's going on and become part of that, but to simply focus on the solutions, because the problems and the issues are many. But the solutions are also many, and they're very effective, and we can implement those solutions and not become part of this dysfunction. And so we will do that. And I hope to see you in Rotterdam if we can do that. And
it would be great if you can make it.
We'll see.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
All right. Thanks so much, Jan.
Blessings. Thank you.
Blessings. And we will see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thanks for listening, and take care, Jan. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.